Well, I certainly hope that you are enjoying our series on discovering life's purpose. And indeed, I think it is an adventure, and I hope it has been an adventure for you. And as I think about many people who are struggling with life and living because they really don't have a sense of why am I here? You know, what's it all about? Where am I going? What's it all for? And those are the questions we're asking here as well. What on earth am I here for? Now, last week, what we talked about was the fact that, it's so good to know that there is a God. And if you want to know what your purpose is, you've got to come back to Him. He's got to be the one who makes it known to us. And it's so wonderful to be able to read His Word, Scripture, to find out that there is a purpose. You know, to know that God takes pleasure in us. He looks at you and He looks at me, and He basically is trying to say to us, I love you. I care about you. But the thing is that we need to come to grips with is that we also need to learn to love God back. Remember that story of that young man who came to Jesus and he said, Lord, of all the commandments that you have, that God has given, which is the most important commandment? What's the bottom line? Remember what Jesus said to that person? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. He said, that's the most important commandment. So we've got to learn now that our first purpose, priority number one in our lives, is to learn to love God back. And then we talked about what that was last week. We said, you know what that is? That's called worship. Worship. Worship isn't just taking place what we're doing here. Worship is how we live our lives so that it glorifies God in every area. You know, in our job, business, whatever it may be. So that's worship. But notice the second part of that commandment. Jesus also said, and love thy neighbor as thyself. See, there was also the factor. Now God says, I want you to love me, but I also want you to love other people. And this one passage here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us something about God in the sense that He also wants His children to be glorified. It says here in 2:10, it says, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. In other words, God is bringing us to glory. Now, the thing that I want us to be focusing on this morning, God loves people. But especially, God is saying, I love my family. In other words, whenever you read the Bible, understand something. God is making possible a family of people who will worship Him, who will respond to Him, who will be part of what He is instructing us to do in terms of service, but He also is calling forth a family. In the Old Testament, you read about the Jewish people. They're God's chosen people. That was His family. In the New Testament, we see how God opens the door to His family through the sacrifice, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, making it possible that we too can become part of His family. So there is a very important purpose here. And the second purpose, and I want you to look at your point number one in the introduction here. My second purpose in life is to be a part of God's family. That's what we want to talk about this morning. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 2, just some verses here to give us a basis for understanding what that means. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, it closes by saying that God appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is His body. We are His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Then he gets into chapter 2 and we suddenly realize why it's so important that we're a part of His body. Listen to our description, the first five verses. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment, and I'm going to jump to verse 12 to understand what we mean by that. Verse 12 goes on, and it says this. It says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant of promise, now get this, without hope, without God in the world. Now that is our predicament, okay? That's what it is. Now God is calling a family together. He's calling a family. Now we jump back to verse 4, and it says, and let me find my place. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Now, see what's happening. So God saw us in our needs, separate and the whole thing, and he says, you know, I'm going to call a people, because I love everybody, but I'm going to call a special people who will respond to me in worship. And what do we become? Look here, verse 19. It is great. Verse 19. It says here, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household. You see, when we become Christians, we now become members of God's household. Now, that's what I want to talk about. What does it mean to be members of God's household? Because, you see, our second purpose in life is to be a part of God's family. Now, the Bible describes that in a very special way in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. When this is the invitation here, 1 John 1, 3. We proclaim to you that we have what we have seen and heard, so you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What has to happen now? We need to understand something. When we become a part of God's family, and we become, as it says in, which I didn't read, verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians chapter 2, but by faith we receive Christ by His grace. When we become a part of God's family, and we now are His household, what has to take place within that household? It's called fellowship. We need to understand that word, because that's God's purpose for us, in the sense that we have fellowship together. Now, just another good verse that kind of brings that home again is in chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 21. It says, verse 21, and he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So fellowship is loving God's family. We need to understand that what then constitutes fellowship. If that's God's purpose, to be a part of the family, and it's fellowship that really needs to be taking place, and that loving needs to be taking place in God's family, what does that mean? How do we do that? I want to share four words this morning that hopefully help you to understand the levels of fellowship, how we move into a deeper kind of fellowship with each other. Four words. They're in your outlines. One is membership, friendship, partnership, and kinship. I want to talk about that. The first one that we have, first level then of fellowship is what we call membership. And what membership basically means is choosing to belong. Okay? Choosing to belong. You see, there has to come a time in our experience that we choose to belong to God's family. See? God calls us to identify with Him. And that is that step of faith. And the verse that I kind of blew by here a little bit earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, it says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith. It is not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. there has to come a time where you and I recognize God's love. And we respond to it by faith. And faith basically says believing what God said to be true. So we then respond to it and we receive it. There has to come a choice. See? In fact, another great verse is in John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him who believed in his name, he gave the privilege to become children of God. So there is a choosing. There is a response. And the interesting thing is, when you and I become Christians, see, the issue is not that you and I suddenly now have a new relationship with God. But you need to understand, when we meet God at the cross of Jesus Christ, we meet each other. We meet his family. See, you are now born into a family of God, but it takes a choice to belong, okay? Now, having said that, you need to understand something then about the family. God meant for us to be part of a family. That is important. God meant this for us. And again, referring you to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. You know, here's the flow of things. When you've received Christ, you're born again and so forth. Consequently, he says in verse 19, you are no longer foreigners, strangers, alienated, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of the household of God. So God meant this for us. Now, the reason why I emphasize that is because we're living in a day and generation where a lot of people have the idea that, you know, Christianity, you know, give me Christ, but don't give me Christianity. You know, give me Christ, but don't give me churchianity. Give me Christ, but I don't want to have to, you know, mess around with a bunch of people that I just don't get along with. I mean, somehow we have misconstrued. God doesn't call us to be little Lone Ranger Christians. You know, it's my relationship with God. Because Christianity, a relationship with Christ, means relationships. It means having a relationship with God's people. We're meant to be a part of God's family. See? And you think about the logic of that, how simple. Because, you know, it's all over. Now, think of a football player. Someone on the San Diego Chargers, or, you know, here's a football player. What kind of pro football player is going to be there if he never becomes a member of a team? You know? What about a tuba player and who wants to play, you know, for some symphonic orchestra if he never becomes a part of an orchestra? He'll never play in the symphony. In other words, you've got to become part of a team. What bee do you know of that doesn't belong to a hive, you know? And on it goes. Same thing with us as believers. When we become Christians, we need to recognize we become part of the family of God. It was meant to be that way. Now, what's interesting about this is that this next point here, as Christ's body, we belong to every other Christian. We belong. Now, why do I say that? Because in Romans chapter 12, verse 5, listen to what it says here. Romans 12, 5, the Word of God tells us, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. You can't think of the church without thinking of Christ's body. And if you think of a body, you've got to think in terms of members. See, we think of members as membership. You know, now I belong to the club. You know, I belong to this membership club, and whether it's a workout club or a civic club or whatever it is. But with the church, you've got to understand something. It's not joining a club. It's like recognizing that I am a part of the body. I am a member of the body. If my function, if who I am, is like a hand, then the hand cannot function without other parts of that body. There is a cross connection. Each part belongs to the other. Getting the picture here? That's what the body of Christ is all about. We're members one of another. The same life, the same blood flows in us and joins us together. The same head is the one that controls us, which is Jesus Christ. That's the power of the analogy. So membership in the body of Christ has to do with, first of all, with the life blood of Jesus Christ. We belong to him. We're all under him. But the second part, number B here, God calls us to choose to identify with his family. We need to choose to identify with his family. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, we're reminded about what baptism is all about. He says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And then Paul goes on and explains the whole emphasis you hear of baptizing. Now, understand something about baptism. When you and I, you know, think about baptism, one sense is identifying with Jesus Christ, but it also means identifying with all God's people. And the fact that as God's people and we're members of his body, we've got to recognize the fact that we have to choose some local church body where the rest of that body can depend upon us. I know there's a lot of churches that don't advocate membership. And you know, that's fine. That's the choice that they make. But for me, as I think about membership, I'm thinking in terms of making a commitment to a local body, identifying with them, and then saying, look, you can depend on me. I will be here to help with work of ministry. That's powerful, see? It isn't just everybody sort of hangs loose and floats from one church worship service to another, to another, to another. But there's a sense that says, no, I belong to this body, and I'm joining hands to serve the Lord in this particular location. And I love this part here. As Christ's body, we commit. As Christ's bride, I'm sorry, we commit to belong to each other. And the beauty of it is that Christ also looks at us as the bride of Christ. And it's strange for me to think that, you know, if someone says to me, you know, Pastor Steve, I really like you, but I don't like your bride. I really like you, but I don't like your family. I want to spend time with you, but I don't want to spend any time with your bride or your family. I want your inheritance, but I don't want to spend any time with your bride, with your family. There's something wrong there. You see what I'm saying? Something wrong. So the first thing I hope that really soaks in at this stage is that fellowship begins with membership in the sense of saying you choose to belong to Christ and to a local body. Now there's a level two in terms of fellowship. See, there's got to be some kind of commitment to begin with, but then the second commitment, out of that commitment comes friendship, learning to share. And that's important as the body of Christ as well. As we choose to belong, now we go a little bit deeper because we realize that within the body of Christ, it has to do with relationships. It's interesting, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, when God was creating man, Adam, he basically said, it is not good for man to be alone. God didn't call us to be little isolated little monks, hiding out and hibernating all by ourselves. He calls us into relationships, learning to share. And I think that's so important as well. And you don't develop friendship without sharing. And so when we share, what are some things that we share? Well, first of all, we share experiences. We share experiences. And as I think about different experiences in Proverbs 27:17, it basically says as iron sharpens iron. You know, we need to be together to share experiences and stories and help each other in terms of our life and our growth. You know, I'm so appreciative that I've had the privilege of, you know, having known my dad and having him share with me some of his stories, you know, what he went through during World War I and as a kid growing up in the Netherlands and coming here to the United States in the late 20s and all the things that he went through. And then I realized also what a privilege it was for my kids to have gotten known my dad, but also Rayanne's parents. And they would sit and listen to these stories. Now, why are these things so important? Because I begin to realize that one person like myself, I cannot experience all the experiences that there really are in life and that are necessary for me in which to grow. Some experiences are red flags. They say, you know, I experienced this, so don't do this, you know. I'll never forget my dad. He came here, he was 18 years old when he came to America and developed a dairy farm in Wilmington. And he worked there he worked 10 years. And then he said he lost all his cows through tuberculosis. They had to butcher all those cows. He said, you know, I worked 10 years for nothing. But son, this is what I learned, you know. And I could see my dad's faith having grown in that period of trial, trouble, and distress in his life. You know, and I'm grateful. I've gone through that, but I learned something from him. So sharing experiences, and I think that's important in the body of Christ. But secondly, share your homes. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, it talks about the fact that we ought to be hospitable. You know, share your hospitality. In other words, make sure, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. You know, open your homes. And I tell you, we live in a day and generation where we're not necessarily always that hospitable. You know, today, you know, we drive home and what happens? Now our automatic garage door openers, they go open. Drive our car in, the garage door closes. We don't even see our neighbors anymore. You know, we come and we go. And it's sort of our home is our castle, and we build walls, and we don't want to be interrupted by our neighbors. And yet we miss something. We're losing something. And I want to say, within the body of Christ, let's not lose it. That's why we have home groups. That's why we encourage you, even during this time when we're looking at the discovery of your purpose, that you find a group and begin to talk about it. Why? Because you're sharing experiences. As you talk about your experience, you open up your homes and you share with each other, and you're getting to know each other as persons who Christ loves and died for, and sharing your walk. And then that brings a third thing also. You share your troubles, your problems. And I know for me, I have learned a lot from other people through some of the struggles they've gone through that I didn't have to go through. I praise God for that. But also meeting people who have ventured into life and experienced the tough things of life, and then the door has been opened. And we share those common experiences with each other. What a blessing. What a blessing. So I encourage you, you know, be a part of a home group. Now, understand our strategy in our church. You don't find fellowship, a lot of fellowship right here in a group like this. You don't. Because the focus is here on what we're doing here together, where you can begin to develop the kind of relationships that we want to see happen within the church body. You start with, say, adult Bible fellowships. That's why we have ambassadors and faith builders and Oasis and Lifeline and a variety of different groups like this to break down the big body into something a little more manageable. You get to know and meet some people. And then the home groups. What a beautiful thing to be able to share together your experience, your life problems, struggles, and so forth. It is vital. But everyone doesn't experience it. I want to share a video with you right about now. Kind of a sad story. And I want you to see what does happen at times and what can happen and why it's so important. I think we got a video. And what I'm hoping is that we learn now how not to let this happen.
Life was so much better as a child. I didn't have any problems. I didn't have bills to pay. My car didn't break down. It was great. I mean, school was fun. I loved my teachers. I had tons of friends. My family was good too. Mom and Dad were happy. My brother and sister and I, we were like best friends. We did everything together. By the time I got into high school, things really changed. Mom and Dad got a divorce. I had to pick which house to live in. My brother started using drugs, and my best friend moved away. But my sister and I stayed close. We both chose to live with Mom. There was nothing wrong with Dad. It's just that we got along with Mom better. I thought going to college would solve all my problems. And it was better than high school. But I still never really felt like I connected with anyone. Then I met Josh, and my life changed. He was everything that I needed. He listened to me, and he took care of me. And he promised that he'd never leave me. It was good to have Josh around when Dad remarried. He was so busy with his new wife and kids that he just never had time for me. I dropped out of school and moved in with Josh when I found out that I was pregnant. And when the baby was born, my sister invited us to church. It was nice to be together as a family. But when Josh wanted to leave, I just needed somebody to talk to. I filled out one of those cards, and nobody called me back. It's hard to raise a baby alone. Life was sure a lot easier when I was young.
begin to see why it's so important that we respond to people. Someone comes to Christ, but then needs Christ's love with skin on it. And that skin is you and me. We need to be reaching out. That's why our Smurf ministry is so important as well to mothers, single mothers. Why it's so important. So as you see, friendship, it's so important. Learning to share. But there's a third level in terms of fellowship, and the third level is called partnership. We realize now that as Christians, that we not only need to have a sense of the fact that we choose to belong, and that we do belong, then there also has to be that level where we learn to share, learn to get to know each other and so forth. But then we realize that God has also called us to be partners. And partnership basically means doing my part. See, that's what partnership is. And we have to understand that as you are part of a family of God, God did not bring you to Rancho Community Church just to sit or to soak and to say, live in a spiritual spa where it's just nice and comfortable. God has called us to be partners with Him in His work. You know, and I love it when I think about the family of God, because when you think about family, what do you think of? Family divides up the responsibilities, don't they? That's what families do. They divide up responsibilities. The same thing for us as a church body. We've got to realize that we also need to divide up responsibilities in order to do a work of ministry. That is vital. And as we divide up that responsibility, we remember that the family members must find their niche. Find their niche. Now, what I mean by that is that, you know, we got to find our place within the body so that we also can be a part and feel comfortable in doing what God's calling us to do. Now, I feel so grateful in this church body as I just think about, you know, here just this past week we had the Gladiator event. You know, we had close to 1,000 kids here. 1,000 kids. You know, and 120 responded to receive Christ as their Lord and their Savior. But it could not happen without people like yourself being available here, you know, taking part of that role and that responsibility. Our work of ministry could not take place with single mothers if there were not people like yourselves who are involved with the ambassador class and so forth, providing opportunities, you know, for us, for the women here, and preparing meals and presenting programs and so forth. Ministry cannot take place here if it was not for nursery workers and Sunday school laborers and youth workers. And it all takes our finding a niche. Where are my spiritual gifts? What are my abilities? What do I want to see God do in me and through me to touch the lives of other people? Family, we have responsibility. We all have part of the chores, right? We've got the chores that we have to be able to do. Same thing with us. And my challenge for you also is to find some avenue, something maybe in the impact ministries, and to see where you would want God to be able to use you, because that's a part of our fellowship. And the last part, kinship, is also very important. Kinship. What kinship means is loving believers like family. You know, kinship is an interesting word. It's kind of an old word. And what it really means is kinfolk. Kinfolk. I know right away you start thinking about Beverly Hillbillies, don't you, when you talk about kinfolk. And but at the same time, what's so beautiful, when you understand the body of Christ, you will read time and time again where the body of Christ talks about our relationship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to understand that. There is a sense that we are of the same family, kinfolk. We have now been brought into the same family by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the blood, you know, that holds us together. And I think what we need to realize is that what kinfolk or kinship is all about, that means we're willing to sacrifice for each other. Now, most of us are very familiar with John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But you'd also need to remember 1 John 3:16, because it says something similar with a little different slant. It says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. You know, and I have to be honest, I don't think that that kind of relationship, fellowship, really is that prevalent in the United States. I think you see it a whole lot more in other countries where they are going through a lot of persecution and difficulty. I received a letter from Eric Venden, Eric and Tuti. They're in Indonesia. They're our missionaries. And they had Muslims that came and came into their village and literally ransacked and murdered some people of their congregation. One family's home was literally destroyed. And here was this family left out there with, you know, on their own. And Eric and Trudy invited them to come into their home just to be hospitable because they were family. They were family. They were willing to sacrifice for each other. And, you know, we forget sometimes that there is a lot of this going on. Are we willing to sacrifice and care for people? So how do we begin in our kind of situation? Well, you know, I often think that the place where we need to begin is standing with others when they go through a crisis. Standing with others. I am so grateful again for so many of you. As I think about families in our church, and you know, I think of Don Hanley. You know how many of you have just constantly been there for Don and just shared with him and pray with him and encourage him. And I just think of others. Ron Lang right now is in UCLA, the hospital over there, waiting for a heart. He literally cannot come out because he's waiting for a heart. And how many of you have just reached out and walked with him, sat with him, prayed with him? And for Jim LaCroix, you know, he doesn't know how much longer he has either. But what's so important is that you're willing to sacrifice yourself, your time, and to spend that kind of quality time with these particular people. And the last part is this. What is kinship? It's willing to sacrifice for each other. It also means being willing to commit to love. A commitment, a covenant relationship with other people. To love them. And you know, when you love someone, it takes a commitment. It takes a commitment because it can't be just based on feelings. Sometimes we feel kind of close and sometimes we don't. But it takes a commitment that says, I will. And you will be present. You will do certain things. You will sacrifice regardless of how you feel. I've been on many, many rooms where people were about ready to die. It's been interesting to me all over this time. I have never found anyone who basically said in those last moments, oh, please, please bring my diplomas to me and just let me just hang on to my diplomas because they're so precious to me. Never had anybody say that. Never had anybody say to me, oh, please bring my Palm Pilot. You know, all these appointments that I've had over here, I just bring that to me. I've never had anybody say that. I've had no one ever say to me, you know, bring that gold watch that I received just as I retired. You know, please bring that. I just treasure this. I never had someone said, bring my old car either. I want you to know that. No one said that. Bring my old car. But you know what a lot of people have said? Please bring the Bible. I'll never forget the story about Billy Graham that when Dwight Eisenhower was about ready to die, he asked for Billy Graham to come. And he said, Billy, would you please read those promises of God over again? He says, you know something? That's all that matters right now. So it's not only the Word of God, but you know what the second thing that was so important was people. Family, people. People who loved them. So I'm saying to you, listen, where are the priorities? If the priorities is just money and financial statements and IRAs and things and all this kind of stuff, that's dominating your time, and you've got no time for the family of God, there's no commitments to the family of God, I'm going to say something to you. You've not found your purpose. You will not discover the joy in your life. How important it is that we do share those times with each other. Here's some things that I want you to be thinking about. Action points. At which of these four levels of fellowship are you? You know, have you thought through membership? Have you thought through friendship, partnership, kinship? You know, grow in that area. Grow so there's a true fellowship that begins to take place between you and other people. Will you sign up for a Firm Foundation class, membership, or a home group so that these kinds of relationships can begin to develop? If you're in a family, have you found your niche? In other words, if you're in the church family, have you found your niche? Have you found where and how God wants to use you? Please do. Please find that. Let's bow in prayer. Father, as we share these moments together, we just thank you so much that life has its purposes. And Lord, we know that our purpose is not only to love you, but our purpose also is to be your family, to be your representative, to let your love and grace flow in us and through us. And Lord, as we discover these things in our walk together with each other, precious Father, we pray that we may deepen our fellowship with each other. Lord, help us to see ways in which we can grow to love more for each other. And those who struggle and are stumbling and are hurting, gracious Father, I pray you'll allow that privilege to be happening here in this body. And Lord, as we look at the future, we realize that our future is not just buildings, Lord, but it's building people to become the people you called us to be. Thank you, Father. Bless us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.